where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. We have Cora Poge on the show today, and she is from Cora Poge Heaven on Earth. She's a soul alignment coach, and since I've been on this call with her, we haven't met before, that's one of the best things about doing this podcast is that I get to meet such incredible people. We've just met, and she has the most calm, sublime, peaceful energy, and has already taught me something just by me asking about how her day is going. So I know that we're going to have fun in this podcast, and I know that we're going to learn so much. Thank you, Cora, for being on the show.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So we are going to talk today about living not from the head, living from a place of heart, and all of the magic that can come from that. And we may veer into dating and relationships, and we may veer into manifesting, not from the head, but from the heart and the soul. But I'm just so excited to be able to chat with you about this, Cora, because I feel like there are so many people in the world who just, and myself included at times still, who are making decisions from their head, and they're not wondering why life doesn't feel as good as they would like it to feel, wondering why they've made a decision or set a goal and it's not happening easily and actually coming to them. And usually that's because they're out of alignment with their soul. So can you talk to us about, I mean, how did you first like wake up is the term I'm going to use, but how did you first move, like realize probably you were in your head when you were younger and do something about it?
Yep. So I had a extremely powerful awakening experience when I was 28, and I was on a retreat in Costa Rica, and it was with the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, where I studied holistic health coaching. And there was the president of the school, Joshua Rosenthal, who's one of my greatest mentors, and then 10 of us students out of a class of, I think probably 1,000 of us or something. So beautiful synchronicity, how I was even on this trip to begin with. And I was sitting on the flight, and I was making a list of all of my intentions for the trip to Costa Rica. It was a really long list. And Joshua Rosenthal comes walking down the aisle, and he floats when he walks. He's, from my perception, he's just got a, he lives out of his head completely from what I've experienced, and just is one big giant soul and heart. And he floats down the aisle, and I feel him before I see him. And I look up, and he says, "Cora, what are you up to?" And I had a little bit of celebrity shock because he had been just one of my greatest heroes. And here he was coming down from first class into where I was sitting. And I said, "I'm writing my intentions for my time in Costa Rica." I felt like I was being such a good student retreat person. And he said, "Oh, well, would you be willing to share what your intentions are for the time in Costa Rica?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, I'd love to. I'm going to learn to surf. I'm going to go running every day. I'm going to make friends with everybody. I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm going to figure out my next 5 years of my business path." And like, I went on and on. Blah, 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 blah. And he goes, whoa. He goes, "Can I stop you there?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, I'm going to cut to the chase with you. I'm just going to go right to the core. Would that be okay? And I went, I felt like I was in slow motion, like time stood still, and I just went, uh-huh. And he said, it might rock your boat. And I said, that's okay. And he said, Cora, you are a 10 at being on. You're constantly performing. You know what everybody wants you to say, and you say it. You know how to set all these goals and reach them. You're looking for validation from the outside through your accomplishments all the time. You have no idea who you really are.
Wow. Oh, and goosebumps.
Yes. And he said, your one intention for the time in Costa Rica is to allow yourself to turn it off. And he kept walking. And I sat there in shock on the plane. Felt like shock. And then I started to cry because a memory popped up of being 3 years old, and I was sitting in the moving van with my dad, and we are pulling away from the curb, leaving my mom in California to move to Kansas. So it was when my parents divorced, and at that moment, I made the connection. If I'm always up and positive and achieving and doing all the good things and performing and fun, then everyone will always love me. Everything will be okay. We'll all, families stay together. I made all these connections at a really, really young age. And that's where it began. So at 28 years old, I'm sitting here. I was sitting there still living my life from that place. So for 8 days of the retreat, I totally turned it off. I was silent most of the time. I walked alone by myself in nature. I was off the computer and internet. I didn't have a plan or a routine. I didn't really do any of my intentions on that list, other than I had a really great surf lesson. I remember that. But I connected with angels. I talked to a woman's husband who had passed on, and helped them find peace, or helped her find greater peace with him passing on. I heard all these messages about the life I was really meant to live. I just completely shifted like frequency. And through that time, Joshua helped me see that I had been using my intuition as like a way to read other people and know how they wanted me to show up and show up that way. To please my parents, to please my teachers, to please my husband, to please my friends, my bosses. And so when I stopped doing that, it was a totally different way of being. Completely out of the head. It's like I had to turn my head off. And that part of me that was going, how do they want me to show up? What's going on with them? What's the next step thing I'm supposed to say? Shifting all of that and into just this place of what's actually true here? What wants to be expressed?
Wow.
Instead, totally different frequency. So that was my big aha.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. My gosh, that must have been, like, what did that feel like when you realized that you'd been almost pretending your entire life?
Well, it felt very sad at first, like a grieving process of a character, but of a person that I was close to. It was the character I'd been playing for 28 years or 25 years. And it felt sad. And I think part of me even felt like, have I wasted all this time? Have I wasted all this time being someone I'm not? And a bit, like, pretty quickly, though, I realized there's, of course, no time wasted, and everything had served me. It also felt really scary because I felt into my life in New York City, and my marriage and my job and my social connection and everything. And all of it felt like how I describe it is a shoe that didn't quite fit anymore. Like that was just a bit tight or a lot tight. So it also felt scary when I thought about going back to New York and what would change.
Yeah, wow. And I totally feel you on that one because I recently received intuitive guidance that my partner and I, our relationship wasn't serving us both anymore. And so we've had to then begin the process. Well, we chose to then begin the process of transitioning out of it. But I also have felt really scared of my own intuition in that. And I feel like that really ties into like the reason that we live from our head is because everyone else is doing it around us. It feels safe. Our head keeps us in this box that everyone else approves of. And then in our heart, there are scary ass decisions sometimes in there. What do you recommend for people who what do you recommend for people who are too scared to even feel their intuition? How do they start to release the fear and hear not the head, but their truth inside of them?
Yes. So, if someone is really scared about starting to listen to the intuition, I say one activity I recommend is listing all the fears, on a piece of paper and doing a bit of a ceremony with it. Like, for example, I might hear what I don't want to hear. My life might have to do a complete 180. I might have to compete with my partner, all the fears, and then burn them or shred them with the intention of, okay, I'm afraid and I'm letting these go and I'm moving forward anyway. Because it's normal to be afraid. It's a totally different way of being. But I like ceremony personally. I think it can be very powerful with the intention of it as a sacred experience. So that's one activity I recommend. Then I recommend having fun with this. It doesn't have to be so serious. And you know what? Some people shift into their intuition and follow their heart and soul, and it ain't no big thing. It's like their lives are actually pretty aligned with their heart and soul already. It's the extreme people pleaser, perfectionist type A, like me.
I don't know who you're talking about. I've never heard of that type of person before.
Yeah, you know, those other people.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that often the lives are going to take an extreme turn potentially. But I say to remember it can be fun and light. And my gateway in to listening to my intuition was actually intuitive eating and exercising. And this was 2 years before the Costa Rica experience. I started to practice intuitive eating. Because I had been addicted to dieting and completely out of sync with my hunger. And so that's how I began a relationship with my intuition. With what did I really want to eat and how much and when. And learning how to listen to that voice and that wisdom. And especially about exercise and about exercise also because I was over-exercising and really, really rigid. About all of that. And so I started listening to my body and my intuition and my soul. And so when Joshua called me out and helped me shift into my intuition, I'd already started that relationship with that voice. So I recommend that too, because that's a soft way to begin in a sense. Like, let's focus on food and exercise first, for example.
Yeah. And then, or what do you want to do on the weekend and follow your intuition for that? It could be a little more lighthearted than, am I meant to be in this relationship or not? Like, it's a big one.
Exactly, because intuition is like a muscle that we're building. So, and it's like the bicep. So we don't need to go try to lift. We don't need to start by trying to lift like a giant boulder. It's like, okay, yeah, do I feel to go to the party at the beach or hang out with my friend and breathe? Like, what do I feel to do? What's my intuition? When I shift off the shoulds and the feelings of obligation and duty or what I said I would do or what I think I should do, what do I feel to do moment to moment? Every time we make a decision from intuition, we're building that muscle. Mm. So that's another way to begin this process, starting smaller. Mm-hmm. And then with time, the intuition around the relationship, the career, the geographical location, they start, those messages become clear, more clear.
Mm, thank you. Thank you for that. So you talked about when you switch off the head and the shoulds and you really listen to your intuition. How does that feel in your body for you? If people have never understood the difference between their head and their heart, how do you encourage them to be able to feel that?
Yeah. So first of all, that's such a good question. And I'm closing my eyes because that often helps me drop in to my heart, my soul. But the way that I experience out of the head living is that I feel very in my body. Mm. So I can feel my feet on the ground. I can feel my body leaning into this chair right now. I actually focus my energy on my feet, and I imagine two golden spheres of energy in my feet. And that's the farthest point away from the head and the body, so it helps.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, and you asked me how I was doing, and I said feeling neutral. It's actually a pretty neutral feeling.
Mm.
And that's why the ego starts to freak out, because it feels almost numb and empty.
Mm.
Because the ego and the thought living in the head is actually rather addictive.
Mm.
It's a roller coaster, usually, that we can feel addicted to. It's a buzz. There's actually a high from the drama our brain creates.
Mm.
Even when we know it doesn't serve us. Like, let's say I'll use this interview as an example. A few years ago, I might have looked at this on the calendar and went into my head like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? Are we going to get along? Do I have enough preparation? Ooh, do I even have anything valuable? I mean, that's what can happen.
Mm.
And actually, we can get addicted to that buzz.
Mm. And on the other side, there's also the potential to go, oh my gosh, this is going to be so amazing, this podcast, and really talk it up in your head as well. And so what I realized in my life was, if I wasn't in this like ecstatic, super happy state, and I was more neutral, I thought I was numb and I was doing life wrong, because I needed to be like amazing, like life is so good, life is like perfect, everything's always working out, almost too much. And then my life drops really massively because I'm like too high, so then I drop, like it can't be sustained. But you're talking about this like content, neutral, actually just not attaching to any of the thoughts in the middle part.
Exactly. And it is freedom. It's so beautiful. But there, for me at least, there was a chapter in my life where it felt weird. Like, whoa, what? It's because it's space. It's space. It's emptiness without a lot of thoughts. But that can feel super uncomfortable when we've been used to something very different.
Mm.
And so that's another good tip, I think, is to allow ourselves that awkward phase,
mm-hmm.
Where it can even be a little bit uncomfortable. And it still is for me, by the way. So one of my tips as well is to take at least 20 minutes a day with no phone and no computer and just go walking or go sit somewhere and just notice thoughts with the intention to drop out of the thoughts and just back into space, back into the neutral. And at first it's so uncomfortable and it's a lot like meditation, but for me, meditation in a formal set way has never quite spoke to me.
Spoken.
Wow. This is the thing with out of the head living. Sometimes vocabulary doesn't come quite so easily. But yeah, that's helped me is just to see it more like, I'm curious about my thoughts and my intention is to drop out of the thoughts into a space of nothingness. But it helps me to be walking in nature, being in even a cafe and just being. But I recommend that it builds the muscle as well.
Like quiet contemplation and just allowing. Like, do you feel as though you need to let your thoughts be heard before, like, have a little airtime before you can kind of allow them to be released?
Yes, I do. In fact, I feel like I see them almost like a toddler who's throwing a fit. And if I don't at least go, I hear you and I love you, but you're not in charge, then they're just going to get louder. With a little bit of like, hello. And this is what my other practice with this is, anything that I'm thinking about, I'm trying to control on some level, which means it's actually controlling me. So for example, I practiced this for a while. My coach actually gave me this homework to do the 20 minutes a day for a while. And I noticed my thoughts were almost always at the time about money. Or finance, like just finances and security, men and dating, and my body and weight. And so I realized those were the three areas that I was still trying to control and not trusting in my life. So the thoughts aren't bad or wrong. It's just showing me where I'm still giving my power away to something external, thinking if I just fix, improve, and change these areas of my life, then I'll feel better. When the truth is, it's just more of a just letting go in those three areas is really the key.
And I think that's the part that can seem really frightening, is that if we didn't have this voice inside of our heads, like I often check in when I'm driving, it's my time to just go, okay, what would you like to say to me? and be really conscious of my thoughts. And I notice so much there, and I have really great thoughts that allow me to like implement stuff in my business and things like that, or remember a friend that is upset and I can check in with her. So there's like helpful thoughts as well in there. And there's there's definitely fear for me around just letting those thoughts go completely. How do you plan in advance for where you need to be? How does that, like, how does life keep happening if you're not even thinking?
The most beautiful part about it is that life takes on a life of its own. So I stopped planning or controlling, trying to control my schedule and plan a couple years ago. When I was living in New York City. I heard the message to let go of all my material items, buy a one-way ticket, leave my 13-year relationship, and be nomadic. So I bought a one-way ticket to LA and I hit the road with one suitcase and no plan other than really where I was staying the next leg of the journey at a time. And I found that my life took on its own flow. And this is how I describe it. When I was trying to schedule and plan and control and manipulate my magical life, mm-hmm. it was like me with a broken pencil drawing stick figures. And when I was able, and this is a lifelong journey, and I'm like still really in process of this, by the way. Mm-hmm. But as I shift more and more, take my hands off the wheel. I joke, I take my hands off the wheel of the car. Then I got into the passenger seat, then the back seat, and now I'm in the trunk. Like, yeah. you drive, spirit, because, like, you do way better. But it was, like, how it felt to me was that I let go of the broken pencil, and this paintbrush came through me painting a masterpiece. Mm. And so now I live on Kauai, one of the most beautiful islands I've ever seen in my life. I have the most amazing life I could ever have not scripted. And it's every day blows me away. And I had this fear that if I let go of control of my schedule and plan and all of this, the magic would go away. But what I have found is the magic increases exponentially. It's like I was limiting myself, thinking mm-hmm. I know what's best for me. I don't mm-hmm. know Jack. Mm-hmm. Mm. And the more I know I don't know, the more I can flow. And that is, I didn't even mean that to rhyme, and it does. And
that's the kind of magic that happens.
Exactly.
Do you know what? I wrote in my journal this morning, literally just this morning, that I feel as though I'm a puppet and I have this like puppeteer that wants to bring me all that I desire. And it's like, here, let me bring this in. But it's almost as if in the last few weeks, I've been struggling and I've been taking up too much energy of the puppeteer. I'm like, no, I don't, I want to go over here. And like, I think I know best as the puppet. And if I just let go and let the puppeteer guide me and bring things to me or people or experiences that I want, then the magic happens in that way.
Absolutely. Exactly. Like anytime I feel even a little off now, I know that either I'm hooking into thoughts that don't serve me or I'm resisting what is. Mm. And it's usually because, to use your analogy, I'm questioning the puppeteer. I'm going, yeah, you know, actually, like, I wouldn't have written that into my script. And I think that's the challenge. When I say my life gets more and more magical, I don't mean it gets more and more the way I think it should look. In fact, a great example of this is, so I'm following the flow. I meet this amazing guy, and he won't mind me using his name, Peter. He's amazing. And we meet, it's like so magical. Every step of the way is, we met through Tinder. We laughed about, but it was just so magical. He goes back to Canada. We're like, we stay in touch. There's all this synchronicity. He buys a ticket back to Kauai for 3 weeks later, flies all the way over the ocean. We're like, yay, we're gonna, you know, we have all this, like, this is so magical. There's so much momentum. We come together and it's awkward. And we realize that we just aren't meant as life partners right now. We see it really fast. And I had a moment of like throwing a existential fit. Like, I am surrendering and taking leaps and like flowing with life. He was supposed to be my guy.
That sounds like me.
Totally. So, but I let myself throw my fit. And then we were sitting on the beach and we had like, we just kind of been, there was an elephant in the room with this. And I looked at him and I said, Peter, kind of like Joshua, I said, can I just be totally direct and go to the heart of things? And he goes, yeah. I said, I think that you want a wife and a mother and a house and a home and a settled life in Canada. Is that true? And he was like, yeah. I said, that's not me. That's just not, that is not feel true for me at all. And he goes, I know. And I said, okay, so let's just call it. Let's just say like this, we are not meant to be life partners right now, and let that go. And so we did, and we just looked at each other, and then he goes, well, Cora, wait, like this isn't friendship. This isn't just friendship. This isn't life partnership. What is this? And I looked at him and I said, this is love. This is just two people loving each other as is, with no connection to what that might mean about the future. Right now, we love and appreciate each other, and we have a playmate for the next 3 days on Kauai. Let's just have fun and explore and love. And it was so magical the rest of the time. But I had to go through that moment of puppeteer, like, I'm like, excuse me, not how I thought this would go. So there's a moment for me personally, there is a moment to moment surrender. Even after all these years of practicing living this way, a surrender of like my script into the fire. So there's space for the flow of what's really for the highest good to move through. And Peter and I, when I reflect now, that was one of the most magical love stories and still is of my life. And he actually went to LA to do songwriting after we were together. And his whole next album, a lot of it is about this love that has no definition. Mm. So it's really beautiful the way it's all unfolded.
Wow. Do you know, since my partner and I have made the conscious choice that we're not going to stay together, our love has been phenomenal. Like, our love has become so much more pure and just appreciating of each other, rather than trying to like slowly get the other person to fit into the mold of what we would like it to be. It's just so much more beautiful. So thank you for sharing that, because I'm going to send him this. But I mean, how do you go, all right, I'm going to surrender this part of my script and just know every time? Like, how do you know that the highest good is the highest good for you and not like this other thing that's deciding for you? Like, and I'm asking this from a place of, I've been working on it myself in the last few weeks. And as much as I know I am always divinely guided and I come out the other end and I can see the perfection in it, I know that there were times that I was like, excuse me, divine, you don't get to push me around. Like, what if this is what I want instead? So I'd love to know how you stay surrendered or continue to surrender in those moments.
Such a good question. For one, I like you, I have a file folder in my consciousness of evidence that every time I surrender to what is, every time, even when it's so painful, even when what is looks like utter chaos or the opposite of what I thought I wanted. Mm. On the other side of the acceptance is peace, is clarity, is what I never knew I always wanted. Mm. I joke that that's how my life feels right now. It feels like what I never knew I always wanted. Mm. My divorce and my conscious completion. I was on the phone with my ex-husband a few days ago, and he actually, it was not a mutual decision. It was, I was leading the charge of it's time to complete. Mm-hmm. And we were talking 3 days ago, and I just said, Ben, you are rocking it. Like, you got a new job in Seattle. You have this amazing relationship. I said, your life is just beautiful. All I needed to do was get out of the way. And he goes, actually, yeah, that's true. Thank you for having the courage to do that, because I would not have left. Mm. And so that in and of itself, just like that speaks to me in such volumes to what you're asking.
Mm.
It's, I'm not going to say I never question the wisdom of the divine. I have shaken my fist at God or divine multiple times and thrown the fist. I let myself do that. I let myself stomp around and feel the feelings. Today, even my mom said something on the phone that just triggered, like I felt triggered by, and instead of like trying to be spiritual about it, I hung up the phone and I was like, I'm angry. And I just let myself feel it. Mm. And so I let myself feel, and then I shift into trust and surrender pretty naturally. So it's like I have that file folder of evidence.
Mm.
And then I just can't be bothered with doubt and resistance these days. It's like exhausting.
Yeah.
It's my coach has this great thing she said to me in last session, where she said, I have it written down somewhere, but she said, why bother yourself at all with limitations and limited thinking? Like, why go there at all? Why think about limitations at all?
Mm.
And it sounds so simple, but that's how I feel at this point.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I fall back on as well, is this multitude of ways that I look back and I'd clung so tightly to what I thought I wanted and it didn't work, because we kind of can't do that anyway. And then I got to a certain point and looked back and thought, oh, I can see why now. That makes total sense. Yes, this is better than I imagined it to be back then, better than I could have dreamt up by myself. So yeah, that's so true. And then the second one of, like, for me, realizing that no matter how much I resist, it isn't going to change. So the only choice really is to accept, then yeah. Ugh.
Exactly. Like, that is huge. And I also have found a beautiful peace in the recognition that I don't surrender and accept because of the result externally that I'm going to get. For example, when I accepted that Peter and I were not a pair, we're not a life partnership, I didn't accept that so that we would experience a greater love story. I accepted it because it feels better than fighting it. Period. And that's the letting go too, from my perception, is I accept and I trust the flow because it feels better, because it feels more peaceful, not because it's going to bring me something better externally. Because sometimes, quite frankly, it may not. Like, we may not be able to look back and connect the dots and see how it worked out so magically. Sometimes you might just go, I don't know why that happened. But I accept it, because to try to figure out why or fight it, or it just doesn't, it's a waste of energy. It's inefficient use of energy and time, from my perception.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's all of those people who talk about being able to manifest what you desire. And it's one of my favorite things. Like, I literally manifested my life. And so then to have my dog passed away in December last year, and then my partner and I separating at some point, I'm sure I won't continue to live in this house anymore. Felt like it all fell away, all of the things that I'd manifested, and that shook me. It really shook me. Like, what do I even believe in anymore? And then I realized that one of the things Greg Braden wrote in his book, the Isaiah, however you say it, prophecy, was that when, if we didn't know what was happening, when a woman got pregnant, if we didn't know a baby was coming out, that she would suddenly become really big in her belly and we would have no idea why. And then one day it would feel like she was being torn apart from the inside. We would have no idea why. And then a baby comes out and you're like, oh, right, I get it. But you don't know in that birthing process. And so as much as I've resisted it, I've had to have faith that what is happening now is a surrendering of all that's no longer serving me. And actually what I next desire is coming into my life. But there's still that, you know, if you know where you're going and you focus on it, and if you like live in the law of attraction and things like that, they say that we need to know where we're going. And really, I feel like I've got no idea and the divine knows way better than me. Can you talk about manifesting from not a head perspective, but a soul perspective?
Absolutely. I love this. I actually don't believe we need to go over, know where we're going. At all. And I feel like the more that I'm just like, lead me, the more that I know, here it is. As long as I know where I am, it doesn't matter if I know where I'm going. As long as I'm present and I know where I am connected to my heart and soul, I'm not even thinking about where I'm going because I'm so in awe of what is. So this is what I feel the difference with manifesting in this way is. Manifesting from ego and the character Cora from the puppet is more like, I would love to manifest. And I'm going to use a silly example, but I would love to manifest like a beautiful car, convertible. That'd be really nice here on the island, actually. But it's convertible. I would love to manifest a convertible Mustang for the island so that I feel successful, validated, glamorous, secure, so that people think I'm cool. That's manifesting from ego. There's always an agenda. There's a, I would love this so that ... I would love a partner so I feel more loved and secure and validated. I would love a dog so I feel like my life has meaning and I have something to take care of. I would love this speaking engagement so that I'm feeling abundant and famous and validated. It's tricky because this can be subtle, and the more we awaken and are on the spiritual path, sometimes we can fool ourselves and we go, oh no, it's not, I don't have an agenda with that, but we do.
Yeah.
So it's,
we
just
get
about
better at that, I think, as we awaken.
Completely. The ego puts on a spiritual hat.
Yeah.
So then what we want to do is just be super honest with ourselves. That's all we can do. Be real honest. Like, what's real here? And then the difference with that is manifesting from soul is more like this. Like, I'll just be on a walk and I'm like, I would love to be romanced. I would love to be courted. Why? Because it feels fun. Different. It's just, it's like an expression of spontaneous love. That's different. Do you know how fast those kind of soul manifestations happen?
Yeah.
Like this. I mean, I said that actually 2 days ago, and last night I went on a date where the guy was like, I'm going to sweep you off your feet. Are you ready? I'm like, let's do this. Like, I was like, I am ready. So that's the difference. I didn't want to be romanced so that I could feel validated and loved. It just felt fun. So that's the difference to me between manifesting from soul and manifesting from ego.
Thank you for sharing that. You have got such a beautiful, gentle, content, and super wise energy. Everything that flows out of your mouth, it sounds like really effortless, but is so powerful at the same time. It's really cool. Thank you, Cora.
You're so welcome. It's been it's really powerful to be in this energy space with you, because I just feel really safe, and I feel like the flow is just coming through so unencumbered. So thank you.
Thank you, because one of the things that I love the most about these podcasts is that I feel as though if people didn't get anything from the words, that at least their vibration will rise having listened to this podcast. That's the aim, the intention, what we prayed for before we began. Thank you very much. And thank you everyone for listening to this podcast. I'm so grateful that there are people out there who actually want to hear these conversations, because then I get to have them, and that's fun, and I love that. Thank you for doing this work and being open to living from your heart and your soul instead of your head. Thank you for listening to us chat, and I invite you, if you have enjoyed this podcast episode, to hit share so that other people can really benefit from what you've benefited from today, to come over to the facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrisinggroup and tell Cora and I what you got out of this the most, or have you started going on those 20-minute walks and really been able to let your mind just be in that. And if you would like to contact Cora and work with her, Cora, how can they find you, my love?
The best is Cora at CoraPoage.com. So CoraPoage.com, Cora at CoraPoage, or at Facebook under my name.
Beautiful. Incredible wisdom. Thank you so much. And if you would like to listen to the secret episode that Cora and I are about to do right now, where I get to ask her cool questions like, what's your morning routine like? What are you working on or being challenged by in your life at the moment? All of the behind the scenes nitty gritty stuff, you can go to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. Head over and listen to us keep chatting. Thank you.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.